What up? I'm Rock Harper. You're now listening to the Chef Rock Experiment, the podcast. Your journey to entertainment, empowerment, and education in the food business begins right now. Let's go. All right, I'm back live here at Torch Hop Brewery in Atlanta, Georgia. International Gourmet Food Chef Drink, the nighttime, the restaurant industry, food industry's first nighttime food show. And I'm sitting here with a very special guest, Scott Elmore of Cardew's McKenna Food Brokerage.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Boom.
Yes. It's as you said earlier, it's a food hustler.
Food hustler.
That's what we are.
You the pusher.
Yeah, I'm the pusher. I'm the middleman is what I am. The art of being a good middleman is...
As we say in the streets, you the plug.
I'm the plug. I'm the warehouse. I'm the wholesale. Right?
So how long have you been hustling food?
Oh, I've only been hustling food? Hustling food a little over a year now, but I've been in food for about 15.
And as a chef.
I was a chef, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I fell into a catering gig. And just started cooking with them. They were like, yeah, if you can talk to people, we'll teach you how to cook. So I started cooking there, and from there I went to culinary school. And
What school?
Went to Art Institute of Atlanta.
Okay, that's what's
yeah,
up.
Yeah, and I don't even know if that program is still there. but so I went there, and so I got a culinary degree.
Yeah.
And went in to get a job, and they were like, that's nice you got a degree, so here's some potatoes to peel. You know, that's how that works.
Listen, it's crazy, right? I went to Johnson Wales, and you know, I came out like I want to be a sous chef. 19
yes.
years old.
Yes.
I paid all that money.
Yeah.
Like, get your ass in the back and peel them potatoes.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's crazy you see how this works, right?
It is.
Our industry ain't like MIT or you know, one
no.
engineering.
No.
I don't know how it works over there, but
no. Yeah. There's so little respect for that piece of paper, man. It's ridiculous. It's like nobody I've ever worked for ever gave a damn.
Right.
You
right.
know. I think this is the first job where they were like, oh, you got a degree. That's great. That's great. Yeah.
Oh, I think I do. Oh, yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Somewhere. I don't even know if I have that piece
right.
of paper. I'm not even sure where to find
That's
it.
That's right. all right. You right. got the knowledge.
Yeah, exactly.
So let me
exactly.
ask you, what made you transition from being a chef to a broker?
Getting old.
Getting old?
You're getting old. No, it's just, you know, I had been cooking, and I looked around, and I saw some other people in the kitchen. And they had that spark, they had that fire, and that love
yeah.
that I don't think I had to propel me another 20 years in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, chefs are like drug dealers. You don't see a lot of old ones in the kitchen doing well. You know, most of them wind up, you know, doing something else, medical problems or whatever. And not to mention I'm a natural bullshitter. I don't know if we can cuss on this.
Oh,
I'm
you
sorry.
Can but, cuss to your heart is content, my friend.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Yeah.
But I'm a natural bullshitter, and I just needed to do something where I could get out from behind. I love talking about the food,
yeah.
but I just don't think I still had that passion to get in there and shake some pans, like they like to say, you know?
Well, that's cool. You know, a lot of people don't have that, that self-awareness.
Yeah.
So I think that's you know, big of you. And
yeah.
Good stuff. I'm glad you look happy. You know,
I am.
You don't have that chef look on your face like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, yeah.
A couple questions for you.
Sure.
What is your chef drink after a long day? What's your go-to?
You know what? I'm a vodka soda man. I keep it simple.
Yeah.
I love vodka soda, and I do it with orange. Everybody wants to throw lime in there, but I love it with some orange peel,
nice.
Something like that. Keep it clean, you know, trying to shed some of these LBs
yeah.
right now. And, you know, got to keep it low-cal.
Yes, sir. In general, when we talk about success as a destination, what's your biggest roadblock right now?
My biggest roadblock? Probably retail and getting retail chains to understand the importance of trying something new. You know, chefs are always experimenting, but in my job now, I deal with retail outlets too, you know, grocery stores and markets. And getting those folks to say, you know what, we're going to take a chance on something. We're going to live on the edge. We're going to put something weird out there and see what happens. That's my biggest obstacle.
Wow. So, you know, so many chefs, food people I know, it's not on my list of questions, but you just brought up something I want to ask you about. Many people listening ask me about getting their product, right? Oh, I got a sauce. I got flour. I got sauces, a lot of sauce. And I have a friend that's in a grocery business, and he gives me a little glimpse sometimes into, you know, nobody gives a damn about how good your sauce is. Or not just that. There's so many things to get it, even get it on the shelf. We're not even talking about performing. If someone is listening in there, and this is before I say, hey, you need to go get a broker, right? If someone is listening and they're interested in getting their barbecue sauce, their mayo, whatever, on a shelf of a retail store, what are you telling them to do?
I think the first thing is understand why you're different.
Understand why you're different.
Why you're different. What? Why am I going to give you a chance over the barbecue sauce I'm currently using? You know, what's wrong with the one I got now? And I think an extension of that is then, once you know why you're different, go out there and create your own demand. The days of waiting for a Whole Foods or Fresh Market or Harris Teeter to create the demand for your product and push your product, those days are over. The internet is a great equalizer. You can go out there, you can go to farmers markets, you can go online, you can go to a local radio station and say, look, try my sauce on whatever you're eating today. You know, and you can create the demand. You can create your own buzz. Then you've got people coming to you saying, I want your product in my store, instead of you knocking on their door saying, please let me in.
It's the hustle.
It's the hustle. It is. It's like a demo tape.
Yes.
Right? You don't need to go put a demo tape in everybody's car, right? You know, you don't need to take a demo tape to Sony anymore, right? Put it on SoundCloud, put it on Instagram, put it on Facebook or whatever. Build it up. And then when people come back to you and say that was trash, say, okay, maybe it was. Let me go check it out. Let me up my game.
Right.
If you sample your sauce and people are like, what the hell is this? You know, this tastes like water. Change it up. Right. Fix it. You know, that's the thing. Kraft, guess what? Kraft barbecue sauce is what it is. They can't really pivot. When you're small like that, you can change, man. Just take the feedback and roll with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen if you're listening. You just got the game. I mean, I can't tell you how many people are asking.
Yeah.
My sauce and bottling. And this, I said, bro, I'm a cook. I don't know. But I know it's not. Your sauce is great.
Yeah.
It's a whole different game.
Yes.
But it's just like hustling them to in Atlanta. It's like hustling those CDs out the back of your car. I think Ludacris did that. Push your product. Thank you.
Exactly.
What's your top source for inspiration? You're in a different game now than cooking, but where do you go now? Where did you go, whenever, to be inspired in your work, whether it be now or then?
Going into stores is actually pretty cool now.
Yeah.
Like going into grocery stores or markets or whatever. My wife used to do all the shopping when I was a chef, and honestly, I can tell you, I would go in, I would look at the prices and stuff, I'm like, that's way too much, because I was paying food service prices.
Yeah.
You know, it costs $5 a pound, that's $2.50 a pound. You know, so going into stores now, though, is a different look for me.
Yeah.
What's new? What catches my eye? You know, what type of packaging and stuff? But then also, we've done this thing at the Ponce City Market here. They do a farmer's market. We haven't been since last season, but we go to Ponce City Market, they have the farmer's market, and local producers come out there. They sell their stuff a jar at a time, you know, and it's so cool. And, you know, we can try new stuff there. You talk to them, and there's like a super, there's a very real energy from those guys, because they are hustling. They are at the beginning stages. And so just seeing what they're doing and what they're experimenting with, because if they got a 9-to-5, whatever they're doing, they're willing to go all out, because, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah.
And shouts to your wife, who's sitting right here in the studio.
Yes.
Hello, Barbie. She waved.
Hello.
There she is. All right.
There you go.
Got to make sure you pay your
dues. Exactly, right? Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. I think I just deleted my question.
That's all right.
But, so your inspiration, who plays you in a movie?
Who plays me in the movie?
Yes.
Brad Pitt. I got such a man crush, dude. I'm not even ashamed to say it.
I got to use some dap on that.
I love me some Brad Pitt.
Yes.
and Leo, they live in the dream, DiCaprio? Right? Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. The DiCaprio, man, it's. I don't know if I look anything like those dudes. I like to think I do.
I was gonna
but
say y'all must be cousins.
We must be cousins. Is right. Yeah. I love those guys.
So greatest rapper of all time.
Ooh. Okay, I'm gonna give you three because that's what everybody does, right? You ask them about the greatest rapper, they always give you three. Rakim, Nas, and Big Boy.
Rakim, Nas, Big Boy.
Yeah. I'm an old guy, so
yeah.
I'm into those guys.
Heard now, Rakim, Nas before, never heard Big Boy.
Big Boy from Outkast.
Yeah, I know. I've not heard of him.
Yeah. Okay, that's ridiculous. But yeah, I'm a big Outkast fan. We saw him last year at the College Football Hall of Fame. He and Sleepy Brown performed for this PGA Tour event, right? But they performed over there, and wife got tickets. We went over there. That was amazing. I'm a big Outkast fan, so I'm a big fan of Big Boy.
I love it. All right. Finish this sentence. The restaurant industry needs...
less management.
Explain that a little bit.
They need... we hear about the wages, we hear about lack of benefits, things like that in a restaurant and in a food service business. I have a theory that there's too many middle managers who are running operations, too many owners and upper management who are sitting in offices and sitting at the bar having a drink. And that's why you can't allow the inspiration for the chefs, for the bartenders, for the servers to go out there and do the thing. This is a service business. If you're not doing the thing, what are you doing? You're just a drain on whatever business you're in. So I think we need more people doing this and less people managing it. Because you know it, you've worked with chefs that if you put them in the kitchen, they would execute. It didn't matter if there was a sous chef on that night or at Expo. They're going to do the thing no matter what.
That's right.
And so when we hire somebody to just go in there and oversee, and you see my face as I say it, when you hire people to go in there and oversee, it's limiting.
Yeah.
It's limiting and it's draining on the resources of any food service operation. So let's pay chefs and servers and bartenders and stop trying to pay all the managers.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Last question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're on a different side of the coin as you know a lot of chefs I talk to, distributors like IGF. What's one thing you like to see from distributor that doesn't exist right now?
Something that doesn't exist, I think, is just that open communication about what's going on with your product. You know, if my cheese is doing well here and not there, the transparency of the numbers and the sales movement, I think communicating that to you and saying, hey, this is what's going on here. We need to tweak this or we need to improve this or whatever.
Yeah.
That's on the business side. On the existential side, more events like this is what you need.
Yeah.
Because this is, we talked about it earlier, smaller events, less vendors here, way more engagement. And it allows you to get to know the team you're working with on the distributor side, allows you to meet some of your customers, and just be more intimate with it. So I think IGF's got it right, and this is just not just a plug.
Yeah.
This is for real. This is my first one of these, and I love it because this feels like, you know, a local event. You would think these are local manufacturers that are just having a little farmer's market here.
Yeah.
So I love this.
Scott Elmore, you sound like a guru, my man.
Tell my wife. I don't know if she believes it.
next year, I expect to see you in the custom suit with the Brad Pitt movie deal.
There you go. Yes, let's do that.
Well, it's been great, man. Thank you for coming on the show. International Gourmet Foods, Torch Hot Brewery, Atlanta. I can't call it Hotland. I heard that's passé. So
yeah. We don't do that anymore.
We don't do that.
No.
I appreciate
you can still say the A. That's about
the
it.
A. That's right.
The
right.
A.
I'm gonna go ahead and not be the tourist. Thanks for joining me in the A. Good to meet you, my man.
Thank you. Appreciate you for having me on, man. Appreciate it.
I'm Rock Harper, and you've been listening to the Chef Rock Experiment, the podcast. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you've made it this far, take a moment to head on over to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another episode of the Chef Rock Experiment, TCRX. Until then, thank you for listening.